All right, welcome to a Thursday night edition of, I don't know what we're calling this, but it's a Whole Hog Podcast. I'm Jimmy Carter. I'm here with Matt Jones. It's about 10:30 at night. We're taping this late because Matt, what, did you like stop at Sonic, the Jones family favorite Sonic, or
no, we went to
McAllister's
Nana's
to get some sweet tea?
No. We went to Nana's house for dinner tonight. Had to drop
Nana's
off
house.
Some stuff, yeah.
Tonight was a Nana's house night.
Yeah, we're going to South Carolina this weekend, and I'm taking my wife with me. She'll go there and sit with some friends in the stands. And her school in Bentonville has got Tinkerfest this weekend. Tinkerfest is she's a science teacher. So Tinkerfest is an annual festival they have each year where their junior high students go and they build something down on the Bentonville Square. And she had to drop off some supplies. So we stopped by Nana's house and had a nice dinner tonight with her.
When's the last time you've gotten a McAllister's iced tea?
Yesterday.
Over on, yeah, okay, I figured it had to be. When's the last time you stopped at Sonic?
Oh, it's been a long time ago. I don't do Sonic a lot.
Well, if you hear either one of us exclaim, it's because North Carolina State is playing Louisville right now, and it's kind of an exciting game.
Yep, Bobby Petrino's about to lose his second game of the season for Louisville.
They're driving. They're driving. But anyway, I figure most people don't want to hear us talk about Bobby Petrino. I don't want to start another war on the message board or anything. You said it. You're going to South Carolina this weekend for your birthday and cover a football game.
Yep.
Pretty big football game.
Yeah, it's a big game. I mean, nationally, obviously, it's not a very big game, but from the standpoint of these
two fan bases,
you know, I was typing up just some agate today for our website, and you have Brett Bielema, who's 27-28 overall, and 10-23 in the SEC, and then you have Will Muschamp at South Carolina, who's only in his second season, but he's 9-9 overall and 4-7 in the SEC. So if Arkansas wins this game, then its coach will be at 500 for his tenure with the Razorbacks. And if South Carolina wins this game, then its coach will be one game above 500. For his tenure. So it's kind of a litmus test for these two teams.
Litmus test for mediocrity, I think, is what I said earlier.
Well, I mean, it's just I don't know if I would go there, but what I think it is, it's we had a good headline this week, the Barometer Bowl, just to kind of for these two fan bases, it just kind of provides a barometer for where these head coaches are right now. And I think, there's going to be a number of these games, especially for Arkansas this season, where if they can win, then I think the fan unrest with Brett kind of falls off a little bit. And if they lose, then you see that heat up a little bit more.
I still think litmus bowl for mediocrity is because here's the thing. Look at it. In the SEC this year, you've got Alabama – is in, at least to this point, until proven otherwise, they're in a class of their own. Mm-hmm. Georgia looks really good. Auburn looks like they could hang with those two teams potentially. And then after that, I guess A&M, because they beat South Carolina and Arkansas, you might put them fourth. But four on down, there's a lot of – you could make the case for anybody, really. That's why you look at Arkansas's games the rest of the year. It's impossible to predict how they're going to do because you have – no idea based on the whole rest of the league looks like it's down. I mean, you think LSU is going to be a hard game, mm-hmm. and then they get, decapitated by Troy, and Troy's out here sunning them on Twitter and all that. Yeah. So,
well, based on what we've seen so far from Arkansas and what we've seen from the other teams left on the schedule, I would say that Arkansas has winnable games left against.
I think they can win every game.
Could win six of their last eight games.
Yeah,
you have to say that they're an underdog against Alabama, and they're an underdog against Auburn, even though that game is in Fayetteville. Gus's teams have really had the best of Brett's teams since they've been in those jobs, and I would anticipate because of how good defensively Auburn is this year that Auburn would be obviously they'll be favored in that game, but I would think that they could win that one. All the other ones, Mississippi State, Missouri, LSU, obviously Coastal Carolina, South Carolina, Ole Miss, all those are winnable games, I think, for Arkansas. And you mentioned Alabama a second ago. Obviously Alabama's king. I don't know if they are just as dominant as everyone thinks they are right now, because the two teams that they've really dominated are Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. We know Ole Miss is not a very good team this year. That, you know, kind of at the first sign of anything going wrong, we expected them to fold like a tent, and that's kind of what's happened to this point. And Vanderbilt's better this year, but
they aren't
they're not
homeboy on the offensive line.
They were nowhere near Alabama's
you
level.
You play SEC football in our house. Yeah.
And I think anybody who really objectively looked at that game going in had a feeling that Alabama would dominate. I think if it wasn't you, it was maybe Clay. I said before the game, I think Alabama wins that by 5 touchdowns, and they ended up winning it by, what, 8
I
or
mean,
9?
Anybody could have probably seen that coming.
Yeah, so I think Alabama's really good. I don't know that Alabama's just as dominant as it's looked in these two SEC games, because I think it's probably played, two of the lower half teams in the SEC.
Still, even if they're not as dominant, I think they might be close to
it. Oh, they're really good.
Yeah, you made a good – like, I mean, I totally agree.
I think Georgia's really good this year too.
I think Auburn's definitely number two.
I think Auburn's really good this year. The offense isn't that good, but the defense has really stepped up and kind of taken up the slack. They played Clemson closer than anybody else has this year. And if I had an AP top 25 ballot right now, Clemson would be my number one over Alabama based on its wins over Auburn, over Louisville, and over Virginia Tech last week. And I think all of those but one have been away from home.
You should Louisville just lost, by the way. You should at Tom Murphy. Where did he put him? Did he have him two?
Yeah, he's got Alabama one, Clemson two. And a lot of people do. I think in this week's AP poll, Alabama had 44 number one votes and Clemson had 17 number one votes.
So the tide is turning a little bit. And I didn't even mean to say it like that. But
a little bit. I think probably – I don't know what it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think, though, that Alabama had – more number one votes earlier in the season than it has right now. I think a lot of people have been impressed by what Clemson's done going on the road and winning the two ACC games and then beating Auburn, who looks like a pretty good team in the week since they played.
Of those six games that you feel like are winnable, they're going to beat Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
You would think that they would beat Missouri at home. Obviously, that didn't go the way that anybody anticipated last year. But I think the other four games are such toss-ups, including this weekend, that you look at the first two games that Arkansas lost this year, TCU and A&M. Those games were ostensibly toss-ups too.
Yeah.
And so you kind of wonder, can this team get it done in the fourth? Do you think going into Columbia this weekend, is it going to be a fourth quarter game?
I would anticipate that it's going to be a close game.
Does that concern you then? Did you pick Arkansas?
Well, I did pick Arkansas 28-20, but when you say fourth quarter game, there's a lot of different variables that could make a game, a fourth quarter game.
Not really, just the game is close in the fourth quarter.
Well, it could be a game, let's say the TCU game last year when Arkansas
ended up winning.
It was a fourth quarter game, but Arkansas was winning 20-7 in the fourth quarter, and it kind of took a fourth quarter collapse for TCU.
I'm saying the game is in doubt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I would say it's probably going to be a game kind of like that. I would be surprised if either of the teams just were able to blow the other one out. I think it's going to be you never know how these games are going to go. The way I have it envisioned in my head going into it is that Arkansas is going to kind of be in control the whole game, because I think Arkansas is going to be able to run the ball a little bit better this game than maybe it was able to against TCU or A&M.
They ran the ball pretty well against A&M.
They ran it okay. Yeah, you're right. They did run it pretty well in that game. But I think they've got a chance to really run the ball well in this game. And I think they've got a chance to slow down South Carolina more than they've been able to those other two teams.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to be able to – they kind of hint that they're going to blitz more, which I think a lot of fans, a lot of people have been waiting to see, because they really haven't brought a lot of pressure. They haven't brought pressure on a very frequent basis these first couple games, because either they thought that the guys were too mobile, they didn't want to let what is homeboy for TCU's name?
Kenny Hill.
They didn't want to let Kenny Trill out of the pocket, and they didn't want to let Kellen Mond break containing and have any running lanes. So they tried to back off, and they made the decision not to pressure guys. They didn't pressure a lot last week and dropped seven or eight. I think that Jake Bentley somebody they're going to try and come after. Cause, well, especially because they've got three in their lines.
That's the key. If you're going to pressure a team, I think South Carolina is the team to pressure because of the injuries and the youth that it has on its offensive line. Again, Arkansas's defensive line's not real good this year, though. They haven't been able to get a lot of production from that nose tackle position, whether it be Bijan Jackson or one of the backups there. And, you know, aside from McTelvin and Geem at defensive end, they haven't had any production from their defensive ends this season.
Yeah, their
season.
Defensive line has been pretty underwhelming, I think, to this point.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, without, you know, as I think of it right now, I would say the defensive line is probably the most underwhelming unit on the team.
Even more than picking an offensive tackle that hasn't been very good?
Well, I mean, now if you start to drill down, then, yeah, you might be able to say offensive tackle. But I'm just talking about, you know, we kind of group the running backs and the fullbacks into, you know, one category, and we loop the, you know, typically the offensive line into one category. So if you're looking at it just from a general standpoint like that, yeah, I would say the defensive line has been the most underwhelming unit on the team.
What offensive line do you want to see or most on Saturday, and which one do you think is going to get to play? Because, you know, last week they start with the same one they've started all year, which is Ty Clary at right guard and Johnny Gibson at right tackle. But more than two-thirds of the game, I want to say, they played the group with Paul Ramirez at right tackle. And he's kind of – I mean, he's had his shaky stretches. And he's had trouble with penalties. And they just really don't have – I mean, there's really no arguing it. They don't have a good group of tackles at this point. They haven't been effective so far. Yeah. Colton Jackson included in that. I mean, he played the entire game really last week. But, I mean, he's been inconsistent, and we still see these plays where he just – for as much as we hear him playing like, you know, he was a basketball player in high school and he's done these really good things in fall camp, he just always, he looks unathletic in space on a frequent basis to me against some edge rusher. I mean, he gets beat. He looks slow. I'm just curious to see how they go about substituting. We heard that Brian Wallace might play, but then Kurt Anderson yesterday kind of acted like he wouldn't. So it's just really intriguing to me to see how they kind of try and navigate this when they really haven't had a line that they clearly don't have a line that they feel comfortable with or confident in because they're still substituting and rotating guys.
I think they've teased this week that just about every offensive lineman will play in this
game.
Yeah,
they mentioned Dalton Wagner. The dude broke a leg and is a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that the line that you – I don't think that this will be the starting line. I think they'll continue to give Ty Clary the start. But I don't think that will be the majority line that you see throughout the game. I would anticipate that the line you see the most is going to be Gibson at right guard, Ramirez at right tackle, leave the left side alone, and obviously they're not going to move Frank Ragnow out of that position. The comments that the coaching staff has had this week about Ty Clary have not sounded too promising for him to be able to keep that job. At least not keep it for a full game.
He really struggled last week against Norton and New Mexico.
I mean, Brett Bielema said the other day that he doesn't think Ty Clary is ready to play 60 snaps a game yet.
Right.
And so you ask what I think the line that gives him the best chance is. Based on what we've seen, it would be Ramirez at right tackle and Colton Jackson at left tackle, or Ramirez at left tackle. Remember, he played left tackle a little bit in the Texas A&M game, and I think they kept Johnny Gibson at the right tackle. Maybe you move Zach Rogers or Ty Clary in at the right guard
position. They did give Zach Rogers some run late in that game.
You know, I know a lot of people are going to say Brian Wallace. We just haven't seen enough of him. We haven't seen any of him, really, outside of the Florida A&M game when he did grade out at 100%.
On two two plays?
I think on a couple of series, or at least one series, maybe two, that he played in that game. But just haven't seen enough of him against quality competition to say, you know, definitively one way or the other that he's, you know, should be playing at one of those tackle
positions.
Well,
we saw him last year, and, you know, he certainly wasn't great, but you still thought that he was going to, you know, given an offseason and going into his second year, be good. Obviously, that hadn't panned out, and he lost his job to basically a true freshman because they figured that Clary at right guard was better than him at right tackle. I don't know, man. It's gotten to the point where, you know, they spent all spring and most of fall camp with the same line, trying to establish consistency, and that clearly hasn't worked. And it's a guessing game, and you got to feel for Austin Allen, man, because regardless of what they do, he's still getting hit every week. They still, you know, Kurt Anderson the other day listed like all these categories where they rank highly, and there were a couple of them, but still in sacks, I think they're 90th in the country in sacks. I mean, he's still getting hit. They got to figure out a combination to protect him better, because really, they haven't played a great defense yet. They haven't played Alabama or Auburn.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, definitely. I think TCU's got an okay defense, but it's not nearly as big on the defensive front as we're going to see against the other teams. And Texas A&M has got highly rated defensive linemen, but they're younger. You know, they lost Deshaun Hall and Miles Garrett, and I think another one from that team last year. So you're right. They've got some challenges coming up, especially the two games after South Carolina with Alabama and Auburn.
Who do you think gets the most carries this weekend? They're not gonna.
David Williams.
Someone asked me if they're gonna make a concerted effort to let him go off.
I bet they do.
I think they're gonna do about what they have been doing and let the game.
Well, I mean, and he's had the most carries, I think, in at least one game this year, or maybe.
They're all separated by 8 total carries.
Yeah, and all their season. all of their yards and carries are about the same. It's all 40 something carries, 200-some-odd yards.
Devol has been the most productive each of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Maybe David Williams doesn't get the most carries. I bet they do some stuff to try to get him, you know, some creative things to try to get him involved in the game.
If it's a goal line situation, they're going to try and get him the score.
Well, he's their goal line back anyway. I mean, he's their best goal line back.
He's a fantasy football vulture. He scores, steals those goal line carries.
Yeah, he's the who was that Packers? John Kuhn.
Yeah.
Mike
Allstott.
Yeah.
From way back.
Mike Allstott, there you go. Yeah, he's that kind of player who we saw it in the preseason that, you know, his really patient runner, I thought, you know, the most patient of all of them, at least.
He doesn't get
When there's a lot of congestion at the line of scrimmage. But I bet they do some things to try to get him involved in the game. Maybe not, maybe nothing special, but I bet they've got some design plays to try to showcase him in the game early. Because, you know, if not for trying to let him show out in his old home stadium, to maybe get him, you know, get the jitters, get the excitement, you know, out of his system. I think if you can get some plays that are maybe centered around one guy, you can really help, get those jitters, if you will, out of your system.
Do we see – so they go 5 for 5 in the red zone against A&M after it had been such a big issue. I mean, they got creative and did a bunch of different stuff. Last week they kind of reverted to we're going to try and run it up the middle and got stuffed a few times against New Mexico State. I think they still scored. Do we see Thick Mallet this week?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Blake Edens, great man. But he spells it T-H-I-C-K. It needs to be double C's at the end of thick. Thick Mallet. Are we going to see Cole Kelly this weekend?
Yes, I would say so.
Even after the fumble? You don't think that they lost
confidence?
Well,
I mean, they brought him back in after the fumble last
New
week.
State.
And, yeah, you know, I know he had at least 2 more snaps after the fumble last week. What I loved about that play was that he didn't get the first down. Someone recovered the ball about 3 yards beyond the first down marker.
He still threw
and he
up
still
that
got
signal.
Up and gave his first down signal. It kind of shows you the, you know, a little bit of the character that they're dealing with Cole.
He's hilarious. The other day we're in, they brought him in after the A&M game for availability, and you know, he'd played well, and there are segments of the fan base who think that he should be the quarterback. Obviously that's not going to happen, and that shouldn't happen. Austin Allen gives him the best chance to win. But I don't know if someone asked him some sort of question like that along those lines, but he was like, everybody on this campus, excluding me, knows that Austin Allen is our best quarterback. And he clearly meant to say including me, because the entire time he was talking about Austin, but he said, you know, excluding me. And he just said it with such confidence, like, bro, you just said that. You did not mean to say that. You're trying to start a controversy or something. That would have been a great quote to just throw up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Put out there and everybody, oh my gosh, he said it. But
well, you ask if he's going to play this week. I think he'll play. You know, they still brought him in against New Mexico State last week after the fumble. I think he's one of their best. I think it's him and David Williams are their two best
short
or throwing
backs.
or throwing a play action pass. Those are their best options in short yarded situations. The other thing that, as we talked about the goal line a minute ago, the other thing I've noticed they've really done the last couple of weeks, or since the TCU game, so against A&M and New Mexico State, is that when they hit a big play and can get down inside the, you know, the 10-yard line, they go no huddle.
Yeah.
Where the other team can't sub in, it's big packages, you know, it's jumbo defensive package. And that worked for them about two or three times against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be interested to see if they continue.
I think they got a penalty one time for an illegal substitution.
I think so too, yeah. And so I'll be interested to see if they continue to do that against South Carolina. The one thing you know about, you know, Will Muschamp teams is that they're well-coached defensively. It doesn't mean that they're good defensive teams, but they're well-coached defensively. And so, you know, I'm sure that Arkansas is going to do everything it can to not allow South Carolina to get its personnel that it wants in on certain situations against Arkansas, most notably, you know, in goal line situations or short yardage.
Let's wrap this up with, I think, the question that everybody wants to know the answer to and everybody will not stop asking. I guess kind of a two-part question. Is Brandon Martin still alive, and will he ever play for Arkansas? Because I think we get that question more than anything else almost at this point, and I honestly don't think he'll be a part of the game plan this weekend. Maybe
he might be. I think he might be. Michael Smith was talking the other night about how well he practiced this week.
They've been saying that for the last month, though.
Well, but here's where it is a little bit different. On the SEC teleconference Wednesday morning, Brett said that Brandon kind of reiterated what Michael Smith had said the night before. He's practiced well, but then he even took it a step further and said, you know, he might be able to factor into some red zone situations for us this weekend. Didn't say he would travel. I don't know if they had the travel team set by Wednesday or not. I don't know, you know, what the timeline is for trying to have that together. But I do know in the past couple of weeks, whenever he was asked about Brandon Martin on the teleconference, he did offer up that he would not be making the trip or would not be playing in that week's game. And so that was something that kind of stood out to me, just a little bit different, you know, way they were talking about him. So if he can make the trip, that's another receiver that they could, you know, potentially use. It all comes down to the hamstring. We know that, you know, injuries like that, you know, they're nagging. It's hard to get over them. But if they can get him in the game and in the game plan, I think, you know, he's the type of player who can really change an offense. I really do believe that.
Well, that's my thing, man. Like, all right, so he may not have a great grasp of the entire playbook, and you may not feel comfortable.
But I do think he has a grasp of the playbook because he's been at Arkansas since, last December?
But even in August, which is, you know, a month and a half ago still, but even then they weren't happy with they weren't exactly happy with that part of it.
Yeah. And well, that was late July. I mean, we're talking about more than 2 months now.
Right. But they still constantly, and the same thing the other guy was going to bring up, the same thing they say with TJ Hammonds is that they got to get to a point where they can trust them.
Yeah.
And people want to know if TJ is going to get involved. And I think it frustrates people. And I get it, why it would frustrate fans, why every week they will say, hey, Brandon's doing good. We need him to get to a point where he can do it. But then they take it a step further with TJ, like, yeah, we're going to get him more involved. He's going to be a bigger part, and he hasn't been.
The summer, whenever we did our four-question series at every position, one of the questions that was asked was, how much are they going to use TJ Hammonds this year? And I said, I don't think that it's going to be more than a couple or three touches a game. And I just think
even know if it's been that to this point. So,
well, he had two touches, I think, against Texas A&M, and he had a touch last week against New Mexico State, if I'm not mistaken. And then the TCU game, he had been injured, and I don't even think he played in that game because of the injury that he had suffered in the preseason.
Right.
So I think there's a little bit of that, a little bit of him coming back from that injury.
Oh, he did play in the TCU game.
Did he?
Yeah, they tried to throw a swing pass to him.
So it was Ford A&M that he didn't play. But I do think there's a little bit of that coming back from the injury. If I'm not mistaken, this is the same injury,
second year in a row.
Right, that hindered him last year. I don't see TJ Hammonds being a dynamic receiver. I see him being a guy who is going to get his yardage out of end arounds and on screen plays. And if you can't get him to the ball in those
But those should be the easiest ways of getting the ball. You're not counting on him to run a post and be open.
Right. But if that's the only way, you know, at some point, defenses are going to start picking up.
On a quick slant or something like that.
You know, one or two trick pony. And if they see him in the game, you know, I think they're going to be able to pick up that that's what Arkansas is about to do. I think, you know, I don't think his route running is anywhere near what they want it to be.
Which is to be expected.
I'm not sure that he really blocks as well for a receiver as they want, you know, a receiver to be able to block. And those are the things that take you off the field a lot. And I think that's why we're not seeing him play right now. But like I said, in the summer, I still believe it right now. He's a guy that you try to get the ball in his hands two, maybe three times a game, see if he can, you know, break a 25, 30 yarder for you, kind of like he did in the Florida game last year. Maybe I think there was one other game where he had a big game like that in the SEC. I think against Mississippi State, he might have had a big play like that.
But here's the thing, like, and you've been right to this point in that they haven't really gotten him the ball that much. But if the guy is one of this team isn't overflowing with playmakers, and if the guy is one of your best guys in space, getting the ball in space, well, make an effort to get him the ball in space.
Yeah, I think they've got receivers that are out playing him right now. Jordan Jones and Deion Stewart obviously have done
they've
something.
They've had one good game.
They've had one good game, but they're doing things in practice that are getting them on the field.
Yeah, and that goes back to the whole trust thing with him and Brandon Martin. It'll be interesting. You did feel a little bit better after the – I know it's just New Mexico State and their secondary was terrible, but, you know, to see, I guess, apparently now healthy. Deion Stewart didn't know he was hurt, but I guess now he's healthy and he looked – as good as he's ever looked. He said something the other day to Bob Holt. He was like, yeah, this isn't – Bob asked him, like, how'd it feel to have his breakout game? He goes, this wasn't a breakout game for me. Nobody was surprised by that in the locker room. I was like, bro, you've got, like, four catches for your career before this. What are you talking about? But, yeah, to see him and Jordan Jones, and I still like Jordan Jones' potential a whole lot, to see them break out, so to speak, against New Mexico State was good. We'll have to see.
They're still young receivers. I mean
– yeah.
You've got Deion Stewart as a redshirt sophomore. I don't know that he ever did anything last year other than return a few kickoffs.
Yeah, they wanted to feature him. He scored in the bowl game, and they wanted to feature him, then he got hurt.
And so Jordan Jones, this is his first year to play. And so we're talking about players who are only in their, you know, fourth and fifth career games, or I know it's a little bit more for Deion, but, you know, really young players in terms of playing their position against, you know, against – competition that's not the Arkansas defense at practice. I just think, you know, I think those two players, you're going to see them continue to come on as the season goes along. They may not have the type of numbers in terms of receiving yards they had against New Mexico State, but I think both of them are going to be, you know, good receivers for this offense. And again, we go back to Brandon Martin. If he can get in there, you wonder about, you know, maybe how much that takes some pressure off of them. And sometimes when pressure is not on you, that's when you perform the best.
Yep. We'll have to see how it plays out this weekend. It is 11 p.m., and I am not a night person at all.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yeah. It's the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm over here trying to keep from falling asleep.
Yeah, Matt's about to die. So we're going to let you go. We'll try and talk to you guys next week after the South Carolina game. But
yeah, be sure to check us out on Whole Hog Sports all weekend.
Check out the
not
app.
Just the website, but the app. We'll have plenty of videos and some features from out in South Carolina. A really cool feature that we've been doing after every game, hope people know about this, is that we've been doing a photo gallery on our app that I think is a pretty cool feature. And also on these apps, you can find this on Roku and Amazon Fire Stick, Apple TV, your Android store, is Google Play Store, you're about to be able to find all these podcasts on there too. So it's just a new way to listen to podcasts. Maybe you're just working around the house. Maybe you've, you know, who knows how you use those
apps. I do it while I make my scrambled eggs.
But you can listen to these podcasts on there as well. We really like that app, and we're about to do we're about to roll out a lot of new stuff for that. So we're excited about it.
Yep. Keep it tuned in. Till next time. Peace.